many have ever heard about the prayer of Jabez in any one way or another? Good. Now, Jabez is a Bible person. He was a real man. And he was someone that God thought enough of to put a little comment in the Bible about him. But there's a book called The Prayer of Jabez, Breaking Through of the Blessed Life by Bruce Wilkinson. The last thing I read about is it was 6.6 million people have been sold. This has been sold, this book. 6.6 million of these little books have been sold. It's just a tiny little book. It's only 93 pages with a little bit more pages with advertising. It's real small. It's like a prayer book or something, the size of one. Bruce Wilkinson is the head of Walk Through the Bible. You've probably heard Walk Through the Bible, which does a lot of nice things, Walk Through the Bible. But this is a new evangelical group, Bruce Wilkinson. He's very popular. He's prayed the prayer of Jabez for 30 years, and God has worked miracles, this is his lesson, in his life because of the prayer of Jabez. He says here at the foreword of his book, there's only seven little chapters. He breaks up Jabez's prayer, which we'll look at in a minute. He breaks it up into 7 points. He says, "Dear reader, I want to teach you how to pray a daring prayer that God always answers. It is brief, only one sentence with 4 parts, and tucked away in the Bible, but I believe it contains the key to a life extraordinarily favored with God. This petition has radically changed what I expect from God and what I experience every day by His power. In fact, thousands of believers who are applying His truths are seeing miracles happen on a regular basis. Will you join me for a personal exploration of Jabez? I hope you will." He says this little book, which, by the way, in Barnes & Noble cost me $6.35 with tax, but when I called the Christian bookstore, it was almost $10. Now, they put the whole price down. Barnes & Noble told me the reason they could do it cheaper was they could give me 40% off because it was one of their top books. I forget what it's called right now. And it was right on the shelf where the most upcoming, I forget that word, the top books of interest for this time of life. Now, this Mr. Wilkinson has written another companion book called Secrets of the Vine. Now, the prayer of Jabez is coming out. It's supposed to come out in this book here, in a leather edition. All of this in April, whether it all came out this April we just had. The prayer of Jabez journal was supposed to come out in May. The prayer of Jabez devotional in May 2001. Prayer of Jabez Bible study, June 2001. The prayer of Jabez for teens, July 2001. The prayer of Jabez gift edition, August 2001. So, this book is coming out in all different forms. So I said to my husband, "Well, you've written Defending the King James Bible. We should put it out in leather. We should put it out for the children's edition. We should put it out for a Bible study for teens." I mean, he's just riding on this, and he can't help but be making money, which I don't criticize him for making money. I do think, see, I don't have any outline. I'm just floating around here. I do think this book is very dangerous. I reread it again the night before I came here to be sure. There's not one way a person's told how to be saved in this book. But he says the prayer of Jabez in the Bible, besides his salvation, has had the most influence on his life. Now, I first learned about this prayer. Let's look at the prayer of Jabez in the Bible. 1 Chronicles 4. I hope this was on correctly. If you remember, if you read your Bible through, you've read the prayer of Jabez every time you've read your Bible through. And I've recognized it. I've read it. I know about it. And it's very dear. In 1 Chronicles, we have, when you start with chapter 1, it starts, I believe, with Adam. And we have a genealogy, or, you know, so-and-so and so-and-so and so-and-so. And we go through chapter 2, And we see in the end of chapter 255, in the families of the scribes which dwelt in Jabez, that's a place, and I didn't look up where that was, I just found that this morning, really. And first, then we have the third chapter, and it goes on more names. Then the fourth chapter, we go to names, and then we come to verse 9. So let's read that together. You want to stand up? Because you've been seated a long time, you might like to stand up. Because this is going to go on and on and on and on, like a piece of string. Ready? And Jabez was more honorable. Let's read it together out loud. And Jabez was more honorable than his brethren. And his mother called his name Jabez, saying, because I bear him with sorrow. And Jabez called on the God of Israel, saying, oh, that thou wouldest bless me indeed, and enlarge my coast, and that thine hand might be with me, and thou wouldest keep me from evil, that it may not grieve me. And God granted him that which he requested. You may be seated. Now if you turn to the next page in my Bible, we see more names. And the names go on and on and on and on, like they're chronicled right here. And that's what God wanted us to see, these names. All these names make me realize that people are very important. And you and I are very important. And you're so important that God gave his son, Jesus Christ, for your Savior, if you know, and you can accept Jesus Christ as your Savior. That's the most important thing that you can do. And then you can be listed in God's book as a born-again person. So now we come down to verse 9 after the list, and Jabez. Now, Jabez means pain. And we're on sermonaudio.com. If you look up our whatever that's called, website, you can click over and you can get us on sermonaudio.com. And so my husband said, that tape that I told you that I made, that's been put on there. And a whole lot of people downloaded it, like 90, probably a lot more now since downloaded. And downloading, I don't know anything, but downloading it means they actually take it off and they take it so they can listen someplace else. Other people click on and listen. So then other people started putting their sermons about Jabez on this web, on their sermonaudio.com. And I wanted to hear some of them, so I sat in there and listened. There were a couple pastors, they were old sermons before this book came out, but they must have just resurrected. But there was one pastor, an evangelist, that was more current. And he said that Jabez, which I told you that meant pain, his mother called him Pain. And wasn't there a golfer by the name of Pain that was killed in that airplane that went over? Pain Weber? Was that his name? Or is that an investing company? Pardon? Payne Stewart. Well, Payne Weber's the investor. Isn't there a Payne? Okay, well, anyhow, so Jabez is, I wonder, that's sort of interesting. I didn't think of that till now. Okay, this man said that maybe, I kept meditating, why does mother call him Payne? And I figured she had such a time in childbirth, she called him Payne. And I thought, now I've had five children, so I know a little bit about the pain of childbirth. But I didn't call any of my children Pain. Pain in the neck? No, not really. Pain. And I know in the Old Testament they named their children for events in their life. Like Pastor Joe, that he has one child that in his language means hungry time child and hard time child. And he might tell you. But in this country, we don't usually do that. And I thought, what kind of mother would this be that would, every time, you know, dwell on the pain of her childbirth so much that all her life she'd be calling her child Pain, Jabez, Jabez, you know, pain, pain. And I know a few women that talk, they never get over the childbirth. You hear them talk about it when they try to illustrate to their husbands what they've been through. I know one woman like that that for a long time did that until she herself had more pain in other areas. This pastor thought, and he seemed to have read from Job's thesis, that there was some problem with the husband. Either the husband died or left or something, and so the mother called him Pain. Whatever she called him Pain, Jabez. Now, he was more honorable than his brethren. we read about the honorable women in Acts that met by the seaside and learned the scriptures. So I'm glad he was honorable, more than his brethren. I would figure that that would mean his brothers and sisters, but it could have meant the whole community. And his mother called his name Jabez, said, because I bear him with sorrow. Now, Mr. Wilkinson is a graduate of Dallas Theological Seminary. That's the seminary my husband graduated from. My husband graduated from the old Dallas under Dr. Schaefer. And Mr. Wilkinson, he was either under Dr. Walford as the president or Dr. Don Campbell, who used to be one of our neighbors. A lot of people that are real famous in the new evangelical world used to be our neighbors at Dallas Seminary. And we used to live in Trailerville, and so you got to know these people in a different way because we all had to go and share the same bathhouse and same shower house and same bathrooms, and so we'd see everybody toddling down in their bathrobes and stuff. So you have a different view of people in their bathrobes than up there on the platform. That's just a minor thing. Dallas Theological Seminary is supposed to be a dispensational school. And under Charles Swindoll, he modified it a little bit. He did a real good job. He's no longer the president. He's an ex-president. And he came on saying that he wouldn't be president for a long, long, long time. So it seems very strange to my husband that a man who graduated from a dispensational seminary would bank his so much of his life on an Old Testament character. Now, maybe you've heard that Talk Back Live. I think that's what it's called. It's on at 3 o'clock on CNN. A few days ago, they had Mr. Wilkinson on. And then they had a Catholic priest, the God Squad. I don't know if there's a Catholic priest and a Jewish rabbi. And I forget their names. You hear them every once in a while on the news. And so they gave comments. And another man who was in charge of Christian ethics or something, I get all my programs mixed up. He was somebody that investigated prayer. He used to be a doctor, and then he went into investigating prayer, how it healed. And he felt that the people that pray usually for themselves, usually pray directly to the Lord, and then they're thankful, and they pray directly. They don't pray like Jabez prayer. The rabbi said it's real strange that you're using a Jewish man, and went on and on. The Catholic man sort of agreed with everything. So Mr. Wilkinson uses period, if you're a dispensationalist, for us to pray. He said day, and we'll see miracles happen in our lives. How did he happen to Jabez, this Bruce Wilkinson, who, by the way, has something to do with Promise Keepers? And he says he was in his kitchen at Dallas Seminary in his little Texas place. The rain was pelting on the windows, and he started thinking he should be using his life. And the kitchen was yellow, and he wanted God to use his life. He had been challenged by Dr. Richard Sune, who was the chaplain of the seminary. When my husband went there, there was no chaplains. You just went to seminary. And Dr. Sume said, be a gimper for God. Sign up and be a gimper for God. And a gimper is someone, according to Wilkinson, who does a little bit of extra. We thought, and then he said, you'd be a gimpy for God. You do a little extra, like when you are a furniture refinisher, you do all the little extra things. That's a gimper. My husband and I both thought a gimpy was a lame person, and I was sort of familiar with that word. So he was challenged, be a gimper for God. And so Mr. Wilkinson said, I want to be a gimper for God. I want to do a little extra. So he started 30 years ago praying this prayer of Jabez, which is in verse 10. And Jabez called on the God of Israel, saying, oh, that thou wouldest bless me indeed and enlarge my coast, and that thine hand might be with me, and that thou wouldest keep me from evil, that it may not grieve me. And God granted him that which he requested. So it was a prayer that God answered. He said, oh, God, bless me. Now, I have several articles here what some people say is like the prosperity gospel. He's praying. Because you can't go wrong when you pray the prayer of Jabez. Now, you don't put it on the wall like one of those plaques. You don't put it on the wall. This is instructions. You don't put it in a little marker in your Bible, or you don't put it someplace and expect it to work. Yet, almost in a few sentences later, he says, you can put it on the wall. So that was a little contradictory. But he says, you don't do that. You pray this. And he says, Mr. Wilkins says, I challenge you to pray 30 days, and you'll see great miracles in your life. Now, how did I first learn about this man? Well, I knew about Bruce Wilkinson a long time ago, but how did I first learn about this Jabez prayer in a different way in this book? See, I've got it all marked up. Through a simple believing prayer, you can change your future. You can change what happens 1 minute from now through this prayer. I'll just read you a few of these things before. There are some good things in here. There are some good things in here. He was speaking to 9,000 men on the Jabez prayer, and miracles are happening. They have a website. You can look up this Jabez prayer, and there's a website. Dr. David Bennett, who's on our advisory committee, sent us he has a little whatever these things are, email thing that he sends out to the people in Australia and his friends. And he says, Walk Through the Bible webpage has hundreds of testimonies from those that have read the book and prayed the Jabez prayer. Here is one such testimony. By the way, the Jabez prayer was prayed at our granddaughter, according to my husband, I was a little foggy and didn't figure it out, at the benediction of our granddaughter's homeschool graduation. It was an interesting graduation with robes and everything, and my husband whispered, he said, that's the prayer of Jabez. And I'm not saying that you shouldn't pray the Jabez prayer. It's scripture. But I think it's like the rosary. It's over and over praying. Unsaved people are praying and getting marvelous results. Here is one of such testimonies. My wife and I have been separated for 6 months. This is one of the people on the web page or whatever. Our marriage was at an end. I had prayed without ceasing for God to heal our marriage. A dear coworker gave me the book on the Jabez prayer. I read it and prayed it in my daily devotions. One evening there came a knock on my apartment door. It was my wife. She was in tears. She said she realized that the only thing in her life that God had his hand on was our marriage. I am one man who was happy to meet my friend Jabez. I love to share the prayer with anyone who will listen. Now, his comment, Missionary Bennett, Wilkinson said this is a prayer that God always answers. Where in the Bible does he get this? And this is what I kept wondering. God manipulating through prayer. Second note, the man's testimony. He is not seeking to share the Lord Jesus, but the Jabez prayer. The repetition sounds a lot like the Roman Catholic rosary. Are Christians so spiritually hungry that they eat at any table? Are Christians so biblically illiterate they cannot discern this is nothing more than clouds without water? Titus 2:9, holding fast the faithful word, as he hath been taught, that he may be able by sound doctrine both to exhort and to convince the gainslayer. Now, one night last week, I saw about the Christian bookstores. See, that's another thing that's happening. The Christian bookstores and the regular bookstores like Barnes & Noble's, there's becoming a change. The regular bookstores are carrying Christian literature. And one explanation was that they have such a vast store, they have to fill the shelves up. So when we went over to get the Prayer of Jabez book, I noticed all sorts of things over there. There's stuff on Buddhism, there's stuff on everything. There's a whole section on lesbianism and homosexual, the gay section. So they're filling their bookstores, and so they're filling with Christian, all kinds of religious literature. And I'm not saying we shouldn't put our books in Barnes & Noble, nothing like that. I'm just saying the secular is swallowing up the Christian bookstores. Now, I have so many things. Now, see, here's a special here. This came in the mail. Christian Publications, someplace from Camp Hill. It came in the mail. Special package prize, Prayer of Jabez and Secrets of the Vine by Bruce H. Wilkinson. Was $19.98, now $12.98. With this coupon, valid through 7/31/01. Only one use is per customer while supply lasts. They have a supply. They're supplying. I'm jumping around so much. I have this thing. I get the World Magazine. I hope you don't mind, but I do. I like to be informed on things. And the one that they've had at least two recent articles on Bruce Wilkinson and the Prayer of Jabez. The book is called Breaking Through the Blessed Life, Prayer of Jabez. Now here's one from June 23rd, 2001, Nuggets of Gold. Jabez prays a bigger prayer than meets the eye. And I was going to read this whole thing to you, but I probably won't. But it's very interesting. A great discovery has been made in our time, and the rumor is it's sweeping the land. It is an insight packaged in a little beige and sepia book the size of Cahillil, K-A-H-L-I-L, Cal. I don't know. I asked my husband how to pronounce it, and I forgot to write it down. Anyhow, you have it in your packet. Saying, whose very look and free promise is the secret of Aladdin's Cave of Wonders, whose publishing has stormed the bestseller list and spawned study groups. That's what they're doing. I read in one book, before I started collecting stuff, I read in an article, they have little cell groups, little study groups. They study this, not the Bible. They take chapters and then they give testimonies. Now, I'm not saying that these people aren't being helped. I'm not saying that they don't have changes in their lives, but I think it's, personally, my own view is it's very unscriptural. And the inside is this, God answers prayer. Well, we know that, but they're finding great, wonderful things, but they're not praying in Jesus' name. They're praying the Jabez prayer. That's the good news. The bad news is that when a book like that succeeds, it probably means we were in big trouble. One thinks of the earth tremors that shook Europe when a monk named Luther wrestled Germany from the Dark Ages with 95 theses nailed to the Wittenberg door in 1517. And one imagines a replay now in 2001 America, but this time without good reason. Never mind all that. Praise the Lord that Ruth Wilkinson's The Prayer of Jabez has got us reading the Bible, two verses at least, and praying again. Who knows where this will lead rather than merely praying 1 Chronicles 4:9 to 10 every day for decades, as Numbers have done, and recommends a fellow might branch out to other worthy prayers. And then there's a list of other prayers. For instance, nobody ever told us in the Bible to pray the Jabez prayer. And I personally think Jabez is a little humiliated. It's my own thing. Here he prays a prayer, God answers it, which is wonderful. He expanded his territory, and you know when you get expanded territory, you get a lot more problems. And I wrote that little thing that we should be satisfied within the borders of our lives, and then we always should bloom where you're planted, brighten the corner where you are. But Mr. Wilkinson wants us to expand, because Jabez prayed for expanded territories, he wants us to expand. I was talking to our son Richard, who has a pastorate in Maryland, and he said, how did this get to be so popular, Mom? And I said, I think it's because he was on the James Dobson program. And when he was on the James Dobson program, he challenged Mr. Wilkinson, challenged James Dobson to pray this prayer and expand his borders. And he said, expand your borders over to Europe. Expand your borders on and on and on. So they prayed the Jabez prayer, and I guess Mr. Dobson's borders are being expanded, which is nice. He's got money, which helps expand anybody's borders, but that's fine. I mean, I'm not again, if you want to give me a lot of money, we can, you know, of course, if the Lord's, I don't want to get into all that doctrinal thing, but anyhow, for this is the nugget of gold that Mr. Wilkinson has mined from obscurity and a ponderous genealogy that most of us skim on our way to the juicier stories of David and Solomon. Prayer really works. Now, this is a very interesting article, and then there were some kind of responses to these articles, because some people felt that World Magazine was too critical, which is sort of interesting. It is a new, very new evangelical, but you get a lot of news in it that of different slants. Then they had another one, and I read things. I'm a magazine reader. I also can't remember what I read, but I read magazines. And then I fold them up, and they're all over. We get a lot of mail on the Bible for Today. Our Bible for Today ministry is really growing, and I don't know, and we didn't even pray the Jabez prayer. It's really growing, and what we really need is more help, but you need money to pay the help. We need help that knows how to do it. You know, like, well, that's a whole other subject. Dan Waite is our, three of our sons work for us now. Dan Waite is our main person. Tammy's husband and Anna's father, and he always says, "Mom, don't get any more help," because it makes more work for him, because he has to keep teaching them what to do, and they do everything wrong. Like Mr. Nielsen got 4 Bibles he didn't even order. Where are you, Mrs. Nielsen? There. People get the wrong colors, wrong books. But I don't work for this. I don't work anymore. It's not my fault. But we get helpers, and they can't read. They don't know what they're doing, I guess. But anyhow, that's besides the point. Going mainstream. I could not find this article. And last Friday, I wanted to get all this stuff together. And I looked and looked. In fact, I did a little. I cleaned up, and I found some things that I didn't know I lost. And this is very interesting. I called up the people. I paid my own money and called them up. The 800 number couldn't help me. And I called up and talked to June, and I called Friday and talked to her voicemail, and I said, "June, this is important. I'm giving a speech. I really want this, and I'm leaving on Monday." And she faxed it over, but she faxed that first sheet, which I didn't need, so I called her, and I was so tired on Monday after having all the Africans and everything. I did utterly exhausted. My husband said, "I'm the only one he knows that plans on being tired." Because I'll say, "Now, when I get home from that trip, I'm going to be tired, and I won't be able to do anything. And I can't go on that next trip because I got to rest up for this. How in the world can I do that because I'm going to be tired?" I said, "We should stay one more day in that motel to rest up because I'm going to be tired." He says, "I've never known anybody that planned to be tired." But I just know I'm going to be tired. So anyhow, she faxed over the first ship, one that I just jabbered about nuggets of gold, and I didn't need that one. And my husband said, "Well, that's all that's down there at the fax machine." See, since Stan has come to work for us. Has he been with us for 8 years? Something like that. 7 or 8. Your husband. Anyhow, he's been, since he's come, we have all these things. We have all these things, and fax machines, one of the first things he got in. But my husband said, "There's only this one thing." And I said, "Well, I have that one." So I called her and I said, "I didn't get it." And she said, "You did get it." So then when I finally got downstairs about 11:30 in the morning, I looked, and lo and behold, there it was. And there it was. It was all stapled. Well, faxes don't come through staples. So evidently, Heather, one of our workers, must have taken it and stapled it. And while he was looking, so anyhow, I called her up and talked to her machine again and said, "Thank you very much. Trends in the publishing industry are opening up new avenues for Christian writers, and some Christian books are selling millions of copies in mainstream bookstores. Does this mean that Christianity has become culturally influential again, or does it merely signal that Christians have been swallowed up by the larger culture? Books like Left Behind by Tim LaHaye and Jerry Jenkins have sold some 27 million copies. Now, if you know anything about selling books, which you probably don't know too much about, because I know just a little bit about it, 27 million copies is an awful lot of books. And it's a lot of money coming in, too. Throw in the spin-offs. Now, I want to say something about our books. We do not keep any of the money in our pockets. We do not keep any of the money. It all goes into the ministry or into the salaries of the people that work for us. Throw in the spin-offs, such as the children's series Left Behind. We put a lot in. I don't want to be one of these people that people think we're taking money that comes in, because we don't. I won't stand for it. But you have to ask God to keep your heart in tune, you know, because it's a temptation. It's not a temptation for us, but it's a temptation for some people, and you never know. One thing tempts one people that doesn't tempt another. Throw in the spin-offs such as the children's series Left Behind, the kids and audio products, and the number starts at 38 million. Numbers vary, but this is more than the Harry Potter books. You all know about the Harry Potter books? You all know about the Harry Potter books. Okay, a worldwide publishing sensation would have sold a mere 23 million. And when I was doing the Harry Potter series, I couldn't believe how that was going overboard. And here, these Christian things, 27 million. Now, goes down about the next installment of The Desecration. So there's a book called The Desecration. It's coming out at Halloween time, which is going to, millions are going to get. Now down here, probably even bigger for a single book is the tiny 96-page hardbound tract, The Prayer of Jabez, the exposition of 1 Chronicles 4, 9 to 10 by Bruce Wilkinson, published by Multnomah, shot up out of nowhere, selling over 6.6 million copies, seeming overnight. It weighed in at number one on the New York Times advice and how-to list, the Publisher's Weekly hardcover nonfiction list, and the USA Today bestseller list, which counts all categories together. A spin-off, Secrets of the Vine, sits at number two on the Times list. Jabez plays to the attraction of the prosperity gospel, claiming that one need just pray this prayer and God will, in the words of Jabez, enlarge your territory. But at the same time, as Melanie Cottle points out, writing in the New Republic, it also is the ultimate anti-self-help book. Now, this is remarkable that these secular magazines and secular papers are reviewing this Christian book. Now, later on, the publishing game down there, it talks about how Charles Swindoll had big book sales, and Frank Peretti and Max Lucado and Francis Schaeffer, and they sold a lot of books. But in order to evaluate where they were, you have to recognize these books as selling. And it's only been since, really, the way I understand, they've been coming into these big bookseller places, Barnes & Noble. Now, I wonder if I can find where it talks about Murdoch. I'm not sure I can find that. I'm probably boring you very much. Here it is. As the bookstores got bigger, these are the regular bookstores, not the Christian ones, the corporate publishing world got bigger with merger acquisitions and takeovers. Time-honored publishing houses were gobbled up by bigger publishers who, like the classic picture of feeding fish, were themselves swallowed up by media giants or corporations that had nothing to do with books. Even some Christian publishers became morsels in the feeding frenzy. Zondervan, one of the biggest Christian publishing houses, was bought by the secular publishing giant HarperCollins, which in turn became part of the corporate empire, along with Fox TV, cable companies, British tabloids, and countless other businesses of Australian billionaire Rupert Murdoch. So he's anything but a Christian, and yet he has his fingers in these Christian things. Quote-unquote Christian. But what did this, according to Mr. Ross, was open the mainstream distribution network even more to Christian publishers. Now that HarperCollins owns Zondervan, it saw to it that Zondervan books would be distributed, given the Christian publishers access to its own general marker. Ironically, the growth of bookstores and corporate book industry did not drive out little Christian publishers. The consolidation of the industry made it easier for Christian publishers to become integrated with the book market as a whole. This was a plus for Christian authors and publishers, but it was tough on the small Christian bookstore, which, like other independents, now have to compete with the Barnes & Noble with their vast selection and latchy bars. I think that's, instead of patronizing Christian bookstores, millions of Christians are doing their shopping at the super bookstore. This has its effect on the bookseller's charts. See, that's what I read that for. That it's recognized now, it says charts. So all these books like Francis Schaeffer sold, I forget if I read 70 million, I can't remember what I read. Francis Schaeffer sold a lot of them. I don't know where that went to. And it wasn't registered on their charts. This leaves Christian stores struggling, even as the Christian publishing houses are doing better than ever. Other mainstream publishers are starting whole new subdivisions devoted to publishing evangelical Christian books. So, Christian publications have over the last 15 years made a concerned effort to broaden their market, according to Mr. Ross. They have developed relationships with trade organizations and publications such as Publishers Weekly. Goes on, and oh, there's an interesting fight. I'll tell you about this. If you know anything about publishing, Thomas Nelson is a big they make Thomas Nelson Bibles and everything. Let's see, where does that begin? Other mainstream publishers are starting whole new subdivisions devoted to publishing evangelical Christian books. Most notable of the new players is Warner, a subsidiary of the AOL, Time Warner Media and Technology Empire. Last summer, the Christian bookselling industry was shaken to learn that Warner had lured away Rolf Zetterson, who held the key position of publisher at Thomas Nelson, the biggest Christian publishing company to head up Warner's new evangelical line. Recently, according to Publishers Weekly, Thomas Nelson filed suit against Mr. Zetterton for violating a non-competent agreement he had allegedly agreed to before leaving the company. The suit accuses Mr. Zetterton of recruiting Thomas Nelson authors to write for his new employer. Warner's author include former Nelson Best Publisher author John Maxwell and Left Behind co-author Jerry Jenkins. There's a bottomless pocket in the Christian market. And Mr. Wilkinson has found it. He said, oh, we didn't expect this to be so popular. We only made a run of 30,000, the first run. I believe that's what he said. Did I tell you that I saw him again on CNN on a night program? I specially looked. And I said to my husband, please listen to this. My husband wasn't too interested in Jabez. I guess you can tell why after my jabbering along. And we got this, the BDM letter. You probably get it. What's his name? Mysel, Rick Mysel. We got this a long time ago. It's volume 10, number 1, spring 2001. And it said, do you Jabez? I thought, what is he talking about? A closer look at Bruce Wilkinson's book, The Prayer of Jabez. And I kept looking at that, wondering, what's he talking about? I knew about Jabez, and that's my first light on this book, The Prayer of Jabez, that I'm telling you about, this little prayer here, this little one. It's the first thing, and I read that, and I didn't understand what I was reading, because I read real fast, and I put it aside. Then someone called. I told my husband about it. Then somebody called and said, Dr. Wade, can you please tell me, should I buy that book, The Prayer of Jabez? And my husband says, well, I don't know. I'll put my wife on the line. Because I had told him, he says, I'm not interested in Prayer of Jabez. I told him about Harry Potter. And he says, I'm not interested in Harry Potter. And so the very next week, someone in prayer meeting said, can you tell me about Harry Potter? So anyhow, I had to rack my brain. What did I read when I read so fast? You have that here, and this is very, I suppose, gives everything that I'm chattering about. The focus of Jabez's prayer is on God and his provision and protection. This is Jabez. Jabez asked, and our loving Father gave him what he requested, not because Jabez said that right thing or manipulated God into granting a request, but because God decided to be glorified through Jabez by answering his prayer. Period. End of the story, Mr. Mysel says. To Wilkinson, the key isn't God's choice to answer Jabez's prayer. The key is that Jabez stumbled upon the right formula. Now, Jabez's prayer, I started to tell you, Jesus said he gave a pattern, which we call the Lord's Prayer, but really is a disciple's prayer. And most of us don't pray the Lord's Prayer. Most born-again Christians, at least Baptist or probably brethren, who people that we know, well, we know some other ones, don't pray the Lord's Prayer all the time. Some people do all the time. But if anybody's going to have a pattern, we should take the pattern that Jesus gave, which we call the Lord's Prayer. I was listening to Catholics call the Lord's Prayer the Our Father, don't they, Tammy, the Our Father? Is that what they call? Do they call the Lord's Prayer the Our Father, Catholics? Is that what they call? I don't know. I was listening to Gail Riplinger, and she was making some comments, and she said, now, the Our Father, she kept calling it the Our Father. She was a former Catholic. And that's, to me, isn't what I would ever call what most people call the Lord's Prayer. I usually call it the Disciples' Prayer. But if we're to pray after any manner, we're supposed to pray after that manner. I know I'm boring you. I just, the book encourages and sanctifies sanctioned selfishness is part of one's relationship with God. The Bible teaches that the believer's prayer is in the process of our lining up our will with the will of God and then obeying. If my prayer does not line up with God's will as revealed in the Scripture, then I need to ask Him to change my heart. Molding us by changing our desire is a part of the sanctification process. This is what this man says. But there is no cry to God to change our hearts in the prayer of Jabez. So when you look at the prayer of Jabez, you're looking at a man who prayed, and I'm not making fun of his prayer, and God liked that prayer so much he put it in the Bible, and there's a lot there for us to understand. But I don't think we're supposed to be running around praying the prayer of Jabez. you can make your own decision. Calvary Contender quotes World by saying, the 519 World said saying the prayer is a good thing, but warned that some individuals read this book and come away thinking that prayer is a series of inputs and outputs. And then God becomes great through you. That's the idea you get. Without a temptation, we wouldn't sin. He says in the praise, I want to point that out. Jada says, keep me from evil. And I read in, just the other day, David Hunt, because I didn't even ask my husband all these, and I have things here by David Cloud. You'll like everything that I saved up for you. The word evil, according to David Hunt, which I could have asked my husband, but I didn't, is ra, R-A, in Hebrew, which means affliction, adversity, and calamity. Where the word in the New Testament, evil, in the New Testament, P-O-N-E-R-O-S, the Greek word, means moral wickedness. Now, I think you and I as Christians should pray to be kept from evil. And we should pray to deliver us from evil. Sometimes God allows us to get in very evil situations for our testing and for our future edification if we just will yield to Him and not fall into the den of lions. You know, Satan is a roaring lion seeking whom he will devour. And he wants to devour you and me in different ways, in different temptations. So we have to be discerning as women. I know this is not on the text because I didn't know I was going to speak, so I didn't have anything really prepared for the text, and this was on my heart. We have to be discerning. We have to take the Word of God, how it is there for us, and not be fooled by what other people tell us. Now, there's a lot of good things in this book. There are some good things, but there are many things in here that I think are unscriptural and dangerous for a fundamentalist woman. There hath no temptation taken you, but such as is common to man, but God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted or tested above that ye are able, but will with that temptation, with that trial in your life, also make a way of escape, that ye may be able to bear it. Shall we pray? Dear Father, I pray that you'll take all these jumbling words together and work in the lives of these women. Many of them are leaders in their churches. And someone's going to come to them, as has come to me. Do you know about the prayer of Jabez? And I hope that this will open up their eyes to be aware of what's going on out there in the new evangelical world. That people are being encouraged to pray a prayer, no matter if they're Muslims, Hindus, whatever, Christians, Catholics, Jews, whatever. Whatever their religion, they're encouraged to pray this common prayer. And who would think that an Old Testament prayer would bring so many spiritually hungry people together? And oh, my heart grieves that with all these words by Mr. Wilkinson and all these unsaved people that are looking at this book, nothing is in here to point them to the Savior. I pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen.